Hey everyone, welcome. I almost said we watch stuff. It's Stunt Granny Audio 303. It's Jeremy and Kevin, and all your dreams have come true.
Yep, two episode break was just too long for everybody.
Yep. So we're back to talk
it's
wrestling.
Been a whole 2 weeks.
Yeah. Two whole shows, man. That's at least two. Mostly 2 weeks. But my partner in crime for We Watch Stuff is down with whatever funk is going around in Texas that's not flood-related. So, no We Watch Stuff this week, which is fine. No movies, not a whole lot in entertainment went on anyways. So,
It's got to be a little bit tough after May Sweep wrapped up.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely are losing a lot of TV because the summer garbage hasn't started yet.
No, I'm looking forward to the strain starting back up, and
I'm ready for the last train wreck of a season of Falling Skies, because it was always a little out of control, but last season it went completely off the rails, and it ended in some completely ridiculous manner. So I'm gonna just enjoy that for what ridiculousness it is.
Yeah, I watched that at the gym, no sound or subtitles, and I have no idea what was going on with that show, but I just remember you saying how goofy it was, and I'm like, you know what, I don't have time for a goofy show. Like, I don't know. I'm already 6 episodes behind on Orphan Black for this season, which is pretty much almost the halfway point, so it's nice to have everything else done now, and can catch up on that, because that's a solid show if you ever get a chance to binge watch it or something like that. I don't even know if it's on Netflix.
What networks? Oh, Netflix?
No, it's BBC America, actually.
Oh, okay. I think I get that.
Yeah. It's pretty good. I've enjoyed it. The first season was really good. Second season was kind of up and down, but ended really strong, and I have no idea how this season is. So,
gotcha.
But it's pretty cool. It's well acted because the main lady plays all of the parts.
Oh.
Yeah, it's basically, it's not giving anything away, but there's a whole, well, actually, yeah, it is. But anyways, there's a whole bunch of different versions of herself all over the world.
Oh, okay.
So she plays a Russian chick, she plays like a hacker of sorts. She plays like a geneticist, this bitchy corporate chick. She plays like 6-7 roles so far.
Oh, okay.
And it's pretty, I mean, for a TV show, the effects are pretty amazing. Because you never question that she's in the room, like, with herself. You never question that. So, but the only thing I don't like is it's got your stereotypical bitchy gay sidekick. And it's like, okay, whatever. But he actually has grown on me as a character, so. But anyways, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about wrestling, damn it.
That's other stuff we watch.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I was hoping the train wreck might lead into what I'm describing is a train wreck of an angle.
All right, so you want to start with Rusev and Lana then? Or Lana, excuse me?
Sure, you know. I mean, I think that it has more meat to it than a lot of stuff. Although, I guess the general assumption from you, which has changed recently, is the fact that you had not liked a few shows in a row there.
Well, no, I think we did 300. I'm trying to remember. We talked pretty frankly about how nothing was really that gripping with WWE programming.
Right.
And I would say after, was it Payback, right? Was the four-way, the four-way match, right. The Raw before Payback, and roughly these 2 weeks in between Payback and the Elimination Chamber, hasn't been, I mean, it's not great TV. I'd say it's average, but with such a low quality base before, it makes the show look really, really good. I mean, it still has the same flaws. There's still too much talking. The format is exactly the same. Talk at the top of every hour. And then they actually ended last night's show with a talking segment. Like, we saw you guys open the show and now you're closing the show? Like, that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Like,
right.
But it wasn't a six-man or a tag team match, so that was something new at least.
Yeah, they have no use for still a large chunk of their roster, despite putting people into multiple segments every night.
Yeah, I'm...
Because they had, what, at least... I mean, Ambrose had one extra segment without Rollins, so he was in at least four segments. And Rollins was in at least four segments, if not more. I mean, again, I understand that you're going to feature some people, but good gravy. You got 3 hours. You can't throw one of those segments out or combine them. Combine the information,
yeah.
Something.
Or just don't repeat information. We knew at the top of the show that if, you know, Ambrose doesn't sign by the end of the show, he doesn't get the match. At the end of the show, well, Ambrose isn't here to sign the contract. Yeah, we know. So what? Why are we making a huge deal out of this? And then he comes in, and I know Shahid's going to be like, he's the Joker. Well, no, this is stupid. Like, the entire thing's dumb. And it really makes Ambrose look stupid. If he would have just shown up and, like, somehow shown back up, like some sort of mystery, why he was out of jail or something, that would have been fine. But him showing up in an NYPD van, which somebody on Twitter pointed out, they're on Long Island. They wouldn't be using NYPD vans or something else, which is picky, but whatever. But if you're going to go with this sort of angle, then, you know, you come on. Keep
yeah, have
straight,
the right
man.
Jurisdiction.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I didn't like that segment, but watching the rest of the show, they at least varied it enough. And I know you're saying that they didn't use a majority of the roster. They at least somewhat showcased everybody, at least. In some sort of fashion. Everyone that's going to be part of Elimination Chamber, at least.
Yeah, because they had all the tag teams on there, which, you know, I honestly don't even care. They don't even need to be in a segment. Just have some of those guys show up more. I mean, that shows how much of a tag team division they could have, along with the fact that they just added Harper and Rowan back into it.
Yeah.
Here's, again, it's not much, but you have a shit ton of television.
Yeah. Well, and they do fill the other shows now. They at least fill Superstars with people who aren't on Raw.
Oh.
So that's a nice change.
And then that's the problem, too, is that I just don't have the time for those other shows. Like,
no.
Superstars.
No, Superstars, absolutely not. NXT, I absolutely enjoy. But I can't make the commitment to watch it every week, like especially on time, which I guess is the nice part of the network. You don't have to sit down and watch it right then.
Oh yeah, you know? I had some spare time one day and I just binge watched at NXT. I just sat there and buzzed through. And the other thing that I like too, and people were complaining about it for a while that they didn't have the they didn't remember where you stopped. Well, they're doing that now. Mm-hmm. So there, I think I got through like 2.5 the one day, and then I just went back in the next day and watched the second half, the other one. So yeah, I haven't done it on a weekly basis, but I have tried to binge watch it.
Yeah, well, I think being able to read the spoilers with NXT helps as well, because sometimes it's just not worth watching, and it's still their developmental. So people will judge it and say, well, you know, this week's show wasn't very good. Well, they're using talent that's, you know, maybe probably not ready. But there's a lot of guys who are ready, apparently. Which brings us back to Raw, because
right.
I actually enjoyed the John Cena Zack Ryder match, even though it still makes me kind of sad that they just derailed that guy. I mean, he's on, and
yeah.
If it wasn't for Long Island, it wouldn't have mattered. He wouldn't have been on that show. And it's just funny how hot he was. you know, even if it was just an internet crowd, he was still making money on merchandise, all that sort of stuff, and they brought him up and just bum-rushed him. He won the U.S. title, and then that was it. For what, a month? Something like that?
Yeah, because they did make reference to the fact that he was a former U.S. champ.
Yeah. But I enjoyed the match. I can't remember who pointed it out. One of the other sites pointed it out that Cena didn't give him as much offense as he has everybody else. And that's fine. He shouldn't.
Yeah, it would look really bad if he gave Zack Ryder a lot of offense.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, no one's under any delusion that he's a major star, even in Long Island.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the other problems, like a good and bad segment, was the Entourage guys. I don't know, have you ever watched Entourage?
I watched the first season on DVD, actually, because I think last night in the Almost Live, definitely half-assed review of WWE Raw, I said that I won't.
Oh, I think Kevin froze up on me.
Just watch the first season because I still don't have HBO now.
Hey, you totally froze up, so we missed everything you were saying. But your face was pretty funny.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, interesting.
So what were you saying after the live blog last night?
Oh,
I read it and I don't remember.
The fact that Entourage. I just watched it on DVD because I just haven't had HBO at all during the Entourage forward time frame.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was one of those things that, hey, it gets cut when your ex-wife decides to put $70,000 worth of debt on your credit card. I'm just saying it is not really.
Dude, here's a first. I didn't know it was that much.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. You've told... We cannot... We have to talk about TNA now because saying that, we can't go into Lana and Rusev because I'm just going to come off worse than usual. And
okay.
Oh,
we can go from one financial disaster to another if we don't keep on freezing up on each other.
Yeah. Well,
because now I... Okay,
I know
you're
why.
Back now.
I know why. So hang on one second. Because somebody forgot to plug in the actual network cable instead of using his busted-ass Toshiba Wi-Fi connection that constantly has to be reset. I'm actually surprised we lasted this long. Da-da. So this might cut us off for a second. But if anything, we can just sing a song. Ah, so let's see how that came up. Oh, yeah. Much better. Well, sort of. Da, da, da. Two. Hold on while I try. So, all right. So, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So, actually, it was a good distraction. So let's get the show back on track.
That news was such a revelation that Skype just burped on us.
Yeah, my Wi-Fi was like, hey, just. Cancel this connection. But getting back to the quality of Raw, like last night's, I know we're going like a quick segment by segment, because there was nothing that newsworthy or noteworthy, but it wasn't noteworthy in a totally negative way, as to me it has been or had been up until Payback. Like I had no interest in watching the show. I think there were a few weeks where I just turned on something else. Like, this blows.
Yeah, I stick them out like an idiot. Although I continue to mention that I'm glad that you got me to start watching it like TNA or Impact Wrestling, just because it was just too tough doing the play-by-play. To me, I don't read that anymore. Like, if I go to someone else's site to read the review. I just mow through whatever their comments are and then I'm out. And I've done that for years at this point.
Yeah,
So,
well.
I mean, I do put in some important action still, if that's kind of the main gist of things. But it makes writing the column a shit ton easier, and it makes it watching it a little bit more digestible.
Watching TNA is not something I've done, I think, outside the first week they moved to Destination America anyways.
Oh,
I've heard it's
no.
been better, but I don't know. So it's like
Oh,
it's hard for
yeah.
me to even comment.
I disagree with those people because I started reading that. Oh, that's right. Because Shahid and Dan both said something about it. And I'm just like, get the fuck out of Dodge. And I named one segment that was completely terrible. And Dan's like, well, yeah. And I was like, exactly.
Well,
Like, don't try to sell me this shit.
they can't all be
It's
winners, I
supposed to be
suppose.
terrible.
But I mean, and that's to be honest, that's where WWE was with me,
Yeah,
and
and
now like.
that's what made it easy writing that way. Like, it was way more gleeful for me to destroy a segment than it was to try to enjoy it.
See, I agree with that. It's easier to destroy something, but when you enjoy something, it's always been harder for me to write about something I enjoy because I always get hung up on the, oh my God, am I going like way overboard right now and like how much I enjoyed it? But I mean, getting across something negative has always been the easier part. But like last night, if I was doing your review last night, I enjoyed the John Cena, Zack Ryder stuff. I actually really enjoyed, outside of him trying to beg the audience to chant "Fight Owens, fight," I enjoyed John Cena's talk. I don't think he needed to talk up Kevin Owens. I don't think he should have talked up as him being a real threat, because he's even said, and he was probably talking about CM Punk in some regard. CM Punk knocked him down, did something else. So when it came to his speech before, I really enjoyed that. And, like I said, outside of getting people to chant for him, I thought that was a cool side of John Cena that you don't see too much. And he wasn't hemming and hawing. He wasn't critiquing Kevin Owens' physique, his look, any of that stuff. It was, here's just another guy trying to knock me off. And I don't think it'll happen at Elimination Chamber, but after that speech, what a shock it would be if Kevin Owens does beat him, whether cleanly or not.
Right.
So I mean, but Kevin Owens got the upper hand on him again after the match, because I was like, where the hell is Owens? And all of a sudden you hear the crowd cheer. It's like, oh, okay, he's behind him, so all's well. And one small thing, I thought he broke the medal on the title. When he
Oh.
stomped on it, I was like,
Right.
oh no. And then I saw, I was like, oh, okay, it's just the same old thing. So,
Nothing to worry about
yeah,
here.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where, and we've kind of talked about this too, the WWE is building to the Elimination Chamber, which is network exclusive and not actually on pay-per-view. And they really seem to like to build to these things. And even though they had a very short turnaround, just the 2 weeks to go from this to, a pay-per-view. They've done a pretty good job of keeping focus on what the feuds are. Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose has been a thing. The tag teams have gotten plenty of time. Owens and Cena have gotten plenty of time. Like, they've been focused on what those matches are for these couple of weeks, which is, when they have some type of focus, it always helps them.
Yeah, well, I've read from other parts where McMahon said that WrestleMania 32 has to be a sellout. It's yeah, 32 is coming up. Yeah, so it has to be 32. So you know, we usually talk about the WrestleMania season and how they take off the summer and all this. Well, if they want to sell out for, you know, AT&T Stadium, whatever else, then they're going to need to have everybody, like every top guy, if you want, or every somewhat like upper mid-card guy as over as possible. So to get as many eyes on the product, which is kind of what they're supposed to be doing all the time, but when the big man makes a declaration that this is going to be a sellout or else, that sounds like a lot of people are going to get fired if it's not. So I think these small this network only you know event is a good way to start that because it'll keep them focused. You know, I had to close my browser because Firefox blows now. I don't know when the next pay-per-view or event is for WWE after Elimination Chamber because this was only supposed to be house show week. This Sunday, they were actually had a house show in Greenville, South Carolina, that they canceled because they had to bring everybody back to Corpus Christi for the event. Because if it would have been in Greenville, that would have been sweet. I could have just traveled the hour and a half to go to it. You know, and I think it would have been Greenville's first pay-per-view as well, so that would have been nice.
No.
But no, so I think these short focus, you know, it's like, all right, here are the guys we're working on, and unfortunately, the tag teams right now are getting shafted. The Lucha Dragons haven't been on Raw, like in a proper match, I think since, what, week two of their debut? And the crowd still, when they came out, the Lucha Dragons music popped, yeah, and everyone started doing it. So it's like,
yeah.
Maybe you shouldn't give so much time to the primetime players because no one really cares and have what? Something.
I think people are into them, but the only thing that they've done with them is give them backstage segments.
Yeah, where they're making fun of other teams.
Which is fine, but I expect you to end up having a match with that team at some point.
Yeah. That would be a nice result.
That was the other thing I thought. I'm like, oh, okay, they're gonna end up having to face these teams then at some point, and then it never happened. I'm just going. It was a fairly funny. They've all been fairly funny segments. Why isn't it leading to some type of an altercation? Like, it's just confusing. Especially if you do it on the main show. If you're going to have it on Superstars or something, say, oh, by the way, as a result of this interview earlier.
Yeah.
Or, you know, this has been booked on Main Event. Okay, good. It gives me, you know, I at least know why I should watch Main Event. Doesn't mean I'm going to still, but... You know, it's just something more. Again, like, you don't need to give Rollins and Ambrose four segments. You know, fill us in with that information at some point. You inundate us with a shit ton of information anyway.
Yeah, at all times, yes.
Yeah, at all times. Just, you know, give us what we're actually looking for or, you know, something to continue the development of your characters.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the next event, and this is off the WWE app. Just do all. Here we go. Sorry.
Oh,
I had it closest to Charlotte, and I'm like, what? I'm trying to find the next pay-per-view. SmackDown, NXT, live. It's Money in the Bank, June 14th.
Yeah, oh, okay. I thought you were wondering what something close to Charlotte.
No.
No.
So you have Elimination Chamber, and then 2 weeks later, you've got Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
And as it stands, that's it until SummerSlam, which is... they have a lot of SummerSlam Heatwave stuff. Where the hell is actual SummerSlam? Oh.
Yeah, well, and that's the other thing that I haven't really minded about the last couple of weeks. The only guy who has really made much mention of Money in the Bank is Roman Reigns. That he's going to be in the Money in the Bank match. Like, they were at least pre-planning for one guy. I'd imagine some of these other guys that are involved in matches will end up getting there. Like, I don't imagine that Dean Ambrose is going to win the belt. So, to me, he's probably going to be a guy, but you can't have him go, oh, yeah, I'm going to be in that match, since he has a title match.
True. Yeah, and I don't know. I think it's going to be a weird, like, booking situation, if you want to put it that way, because you're going to have Elimination Chamber, a bunch of multi-person matches, and then the next pay-per-view you're going to have another, like, highlight reel multi-person match. So it's kind of a strange thing for them to do, but these special events, though, are a good way to get people invested with the network, so I'd be curious to see if it works or not. I think it'd be better if they had more build-up for them, but I can't imagine there's going to be another one between Money in the Bank and SummerSlam, though.
Oh.
Because I think SummerSlam still carries enough weight to make sure, you know, it's treated as special. You know, Money in the Bank's just Money in the Bank. So.
Right.
But, like, I guess it's a weird conundrum because I can't see, like, I guess we can start talking about the Rusev part in this because it plays into Elimination Chamber. But there's part of me, that just I fully expect him to be the one walking out with the Intercontinental title, because they got the U.S. title off of him, and it's not that he's been like a rudderless ship or whatever, ship on oar, whatever. In my mind's booking, it actually makes sense to have, well, he lost to John Cena, then he lost again in an I Quit match, and now Lana's embarrassing him. He's got to get something back, and this whole Lana Rusev thing to me just seems like a ploy, and not like they planned it together, but that she's doing this to make sure, you know, after seeing him quit, that she needed to get him back into beast mode, if you want.
Uh-huh.
Because if you remember when they started, Lana called all the shots. He would stumble around the ring, beat on somebody, look for her for instruction, and then it was her saying, all right, yeah, end this and let's move on. So, you know, it can kind of be a reversal of fortune to where she's like, well, I had to put you back in your place and have you, you know, get back to being the monster you were. I don't know.
That would be pretty awesome if they did that. But I don't know that they will. But maybe they will, just because it has felt like, I guess I just don't feel like the angle's been well put together. And sometimes that happens when they're kind of trying to give you a misdirection. Like, I don't think they're very good at misdirection. When they're just pushing you in a direction with the WWE, I feel like they do an okay job. When they try to make you think one thing, I always think the opposite.
Hmm.
You know, like the Even Steven booking situation.
Yeah,
Someone gets beat down the Monday before the pay-per-view, so you expect them to win at the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I just feel like there are storylines that they kind of are trying to position you counterintuitively, but I don't feel like it works.
See, I guess I'm just holding out hope and creating my own scenario, because it's been kind of a weird one. And
yeah,
like the crowd, Lana's done nothing, but the crowd figured out she was good looking, so they started cheering for her. That's literally it.
And that's the other thing that is strange to me. Like, I'm like, did I miss the week where this started? Like, I didn't feel like it was happening before WrestleMania. I know I've watched every Raw in between.
Well, she all right. You know, the crowd started cheering for her. So they played into that Rusev didn't like it. You know, that's really the only beginning. There's nothing.
Okay.
And then, well, then she kind of cost him the match at WrestleMania, so we got mad at her there because of the whole.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the part that really bothers me about this whole thing is JoJo says at Payback, he literally has that your opponent literally has to say, "I quit." Rusev never said it. Literally does not mean you get to say it in another language. Literally does not mean someone else throws a towel in for you. Literally means he has to say, "I quit." So the whole fact of this stupid ass angle right now is that Rusev goes, "I look," he's obviously mad at her because she did screw up. And
Right.
but even then, the referee should have never acknowledged it and let it go. So it's all this misguided anger, and no one is pointing out this fact. So they're just using all this to turn Rusev into a heel finally. Because before, and we talked about this, he was a face. He said, "Sir," he said some mean things, boo hoo, but he never cheated to win. He just won. So now he's like talking mean to his woman and, you know, beating up poor Dolph Ziggler, who deserves it. So I don't see how the hell he's a heel right now. Maybe a tweener. But no, but I mean, just the whole Rusev thing last night with him saying, you know, all you have to do is say, I was wrong, that cracked me up. And then the crowd just going, oh, because there's a bunch of guys in the audience going, oh, that's not going to work. That's definitely not going to work.
Oh, yeah. Every guy in the audience goes, oh, I pulled that. I tried to do that once. I tried to do that once. It did not work out well for me.
Yeah, that's why I guess I was watching it last night. Rusev was destroying on the mic. Just his inflection, he was hitting all the right marks, his facial expressions, everything was spot on. And I know he's a bad guy, but it was great. I mean, it was like you were finally seeing someone blossom. Like, as much as I enjoy a Bray Wyatt promo, as much as I used to enjoy a Bray Wyatt promo, Bray gets out there, he can clearly talk, but somebody's got to give him something to say. Rusev went out there with something to say and killed.
Right. That's the one thing that's kind of interesting about the angle too. Like, in some ways at this point, especially cutting that promo or the last few promos like he has, if you don't feel like he needs to have the hot piece by his side, by all means, get rid of her. But then that leads to, why is she going to someone who doesn't need her help at all?
Yeah.
Ziggler's over. I don't understand why. Do they think he can't talk again? Even though they've been giving him more mic time recently than I feel like they have in the past?
Yeah, great. That's worked out so wonderful too. You're right. They have given him more time on the mic. Yeah, he does need someone talking for him. It's because he's a good guy and he sucks as a face. Ziggler's horrible as a face.
Yeah. Well, he continues to be over there with nary a hint of him flipping back over.
No. See, and
And I mean, he still does get enough of a crowd reaction that I don't think they pull a trigger on it either.
True. No, that I agree with as well. But it you're right. It makes no sense unless they're setting him up. Why they're setting Dolph Ziggler up, I don't know. But that's the only way it would make sense. Because Ziggler's basically the exact opposite of Rusev. Rusev's a monster, if you want to put it this way. And Dolph Ziggler likes to talk all the time and show off, you know, self-proclaimed show off or whatever. So they could claim Ziggler's everything wrong, everything that the everything that America encapsulates, that is Dolph Ziggler. And they're setting him up just to destroy him. That is literally all I can think of with that.
It would be a lot of fun if that's what the angle ends up being, but it's just kind of hard to run that when, no matter what happens, I mean, I don't think they're going to be the final two in that match. Oh, hold on. That is for the IC title.
Yeah.
They very well could be the last two guys in that match.
I have no... okay. Remember, R-Truth is in this match.
They put Lana in there before that point, I guess. Like, I mean, I know that no one's supposed to get in or whatever, but there are always ways around that.
Yeah.
Those shenanigans.
As soon as somebody's like has to leave the cage, then the crowd can chant for Lana, so she could get up and start doing her wave thing, and then something happens, and Rusev slams a door behind her. You know, and then she's stuck in there because the referees are dimwits and won't just go, oh, here, let's open the door again for you. But no, and I guess that's the only way all of that would make sense. If that is something to happen, and I guess that's why I keep just waiting. And then if it doesn't, then go, yeah, I've got nothing. I've just got nothing for why. I mean, because they portrayed Lana as this, like, you know, tough mouthpiece for Rusev, but don't forget that Chris Jericho came back and called her a Russian slut. Everyone cheered. No one had a problem with it. Now she decides, I'm leaving Rusev, and then she makes out with Dolph, and everyone's like, why does she need a man? Why is she doing this? Well, who cares? Maybe she wants to get some different dick. I mean, you know what? And far be it from a chick to make her ex-boyfriend jealous.
Oh, that never, ever happens.
Yeah. It's like, everyone wants to talk about, and you see this all the time, Twitter or social justice warriors, whatever you want to call them. A woman does something that's out of the norm, or they do something that's normal, and both get vilified. So she goes out, does something to make her boyfriend jealous. Well, women don't act that way. Okay. Woman breaks up with her boyfriend, immediately hooks up with some other guy. She gets called a slut for it. Well, she doesn't have the same sort of urges for, you know, maybe she just wanted to go sling some box for a while, man. I mean, who the hell are you to judge? I mean, Jesus.
Slinging some box.
Yeah. I mean,
just doesn't quite have the same ring to it, I guess.
No. If you're out there slinging dick, that's one thing, but slinging box, I mean, you can't even say, like, slinging vag. You can say tossing twat. You could do that.
Work.
Yeah, so no, it's like, I know Chris, you know, I read Chris's thing today, and I understand the point he was getting to, but at the same time, it's like, some things are just how they are, and some things are new or are changing. And with this Lana thing, like her immediately jumping on Dolph, you know, it's kind of a 50s kind of thing, like a Grease sort of thing.
Right.
But that's not to say it doesn't happen. And this newfound confidence that Lana has really came out of the blue.
Yeah, and I think that's why that was kind of, it's still kind of weird to me just in general, the chanting for her. Like, I guess I don't remember her, because when she goofed up and cost Rusev matches, it wasn't like she intentionally did it so everyone should be happy that she did it.
Yeah.
You know? So, it's just like, no, she just legitimately cost him matches with accidents.
Yeah, and then she got berated for it because her boyfriend's a... Well, all right, first off, he wasn't her boyfriend. That's another thing that's totally come out of the blue, but, you know, it wasn't even implied. It was Rusev and his mouthpiece Lana. That was it. You know, even when he kicked Lana to the curb that one week, and they had the other guy come out. Oh no, they had that attorney guy come out who lost his Russian accent. Which, by the way, Lana lost her accent for a little bit this week. But God, I forgot where I was even going with that. But they never really established that they were a couple, that they were just together. They traveled together. It was all business. Kind of like going back to the beginning. Now all of a sudden, they're supposed to be boyfriend, girlfriend, and she dumped him, or he dumped her, and now she's with some other guy, and he's jealous. It's like, well, where'd this come from? The monster has feelings? Like, they never expressed that?
Right.
Well, maybe this is a train wreck, then.
Yeah, it's you know? Just like they couldn't... But, I mean, well, as I've admitted numerous times, I don't mind train wrecks sometimes just because it's a train wreck. Like, I if it comes out the way that you're saying, it's fine. But, I mean, it's just all this stuff to me is just – it's really weird. I mean, to me it's pretty interesting. Like, it's almost like they're too in tune with the crowd now. It's like they start to chant for something, and they're like, oh, well, maybe we should change things. Yeah.
Well, especially because this isn't the Attitude Era where guys chanted for the women because they wanted to see them naked. Or because they would strip in the ring, whatever else.
Right.
Now, it's like, what were you expecting of Lana when she becomes a face? Is she going to dress sexier? And it's like, okay, I guess. Like, it's called the internet, guys. Just, you can see everything you want to see.
Especially with her.
Yeah. So...
And this was a point that Chris kind of had in there, too, is that if... And, I mean, I don't know if it's true or not, but if she isn't willing to wrestle, I mean, what use does she have in the WWE? Like, the heel women have been very few... Well, actually, women in general, women characters... have been really hard to come by. If you've needed to be a diva to stick around for any type of long time, except for Vicky Guerrero.
No, but she even got in the ring, though.
That's true.
Yeah. But see, and here's the thing, though. I don't think she has to wrestle. What's wrong with her just being... like? And I guess this would go back to they shouldn't have broken these two up to begin with. What's wrong with her just being the mouthpiece? I mean, I don't remember Miss Elizabeth wrestling. Probably the most famous valet, company manager, whatever, on the female side ever. She never wrestled. So, and then everyone's, you know, barking and yelling about managers making a comeback and doing this. Okay. I don't remember Slick getting in a wrestling match. You know, Jimmy Hart didn't really wrestle, but he would take a bump here and there. You can teach her to take a bump here and there, but not learn how to wrestle a match. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, well,
but it also, like, on the heel aspect, you've got this really mouthy person. Just you want to kill him. That's what you want, and then team that with somebody else, who's, you know, in Rusev, who's just a monster heel, and there you've got a heat seeking. Attraction. So I don't necessarily agree that she has to wrestle. You can just have them be valets or managers.
Yeah, I guess one reason I don't think about that as an option because it doesn't seem like the WWE makes it an option. Like,
true.
Even for as much as they liked Zeb Coulter. They finally did get rid of him because, I mean, that's all he was doing. And, I mean...
Well, he got hurt, too. So.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he had knee surgery. That was a legit knee injury.
Oh.
So that's why he's been gone. It also doesn't help he was with Swagger, too. So.
Well, yeah, that didn't help. But, I mean, they were still finding him TV time no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, I guess there have been more managers recently... But again, just to go back to that point, though, if that's what she's going to end up doing, okay, maybe Ziggler does need someone to speak for him, but is that... I mean, I guess we could go with that.
I'm not saying... the Ziggler thing was more of just the frustration of watching him turn into a doofus as soon as he became a... Well, not as soon, but lately as a face. He's just a nerd. And it's like, this isn't the cool guy that I used to like when he was a heel. This blows. But,
yeah.
Like, his matches, you know, I still have no problem with those. But it's his character's just garbage. So, whatever. It's not my cup of tea. And as I was telling Shahid today, I was like, I wish I rooted for more good guys. I just don't. Like a guy like Kevin Steen, I can totally, or I'm sorry, Kevin Owens, I can totally get behind someone like that. You know, whether or not, that's good or not, I don't know. But his character seems genuine compared to Dolph's. Hey, look at I'm the cool guy with the jean jacket and ugh.
Well, that in no way helped. Like that killed me. Like as much as I have kind of trumpeted it in the past, these promos really haven't been that good. Like I hadn't thought about it when I said that about the mouthpiece, and then you started mentioning stuff, and I'm like, you know what? Those recent promos have kind of stunk. Like I don't care what he's into. I guess like it's another one to me that maybe they're letting his real life take over the character too much, because I know that he has that like that uncensored like what is it? He has the prank show coming up on the WWE Network that they've been hyping, and I mean I think that's another reason why probably they want to keep him face. Like you can't have the heel guy producing one of your shows on the network. Like you kind of need a baby face, even though now everyone kind of knows with Total Divas that they're just characters.
Yeah, exactly. If they will remind you of that, I think every single 4 minutes on that show, when they're not coming up with some other fake stuff, but
Oh yeah, well
But no, so it's like
there's still characters on that show, but
I don't get too upset about this Lana stuff because it seems all of this seems like a wait and see. And they can also use her. I mean, even without wrestling, to go back to that real quick, because I know we want to get to TNA.
right.
But even to get to like her just being a mouthpiece, that also means that she can, eventually Rusev's gonna turn face. I mean, it's gonna happen. I mean, listen to WrestleMania when he got introduced. There was a good part of that crowd cheering for him. So.
Yeah, and I mean he's really good. Like he's grown on me a lot. Like I was definitely very skeptical of why they continued to push him. And of course, I think most of the time I did say that I didn't like the dumb Russia gimmick. And they've really, and obviously with this, have gotten away from that because they have mentioned numerous times that he's Bulgarian and not Russian. And which is just hysterical since they did that to start with and then they changed him to Russian.
That he was a Russian sympathizer or
Yeah,
whatever.
sympathizers, whatever.
No, I started laughing. Sorry, when you were doing that, I was laughing at you. I just started thinking of his speech on Raw. What do you say? You're a woman and you need to know your place or something? And I immediately started laughing. So I was like, that's hilarious. Because it's just not something you would expect to hear on WWE programming right now. It's like, because you don't get man-on-woman violence, which is good, because that's dated and played out. Even if they treat the woman as equal, it doesn't matter. It can't be done. But when he just verbally berated her like that, it was an uncomfortable laugh. Like, wow, they're letting him get away with this, huh? I mean, he didn't say anything like terrible, but
Right. I think they let it go because he's a foreigner.
Yeah. Well, he had an accent, so that makes him evil. But
Yep, it makes them all stupid and backwards. They're from another country. USA, number one.
Oh, I did see people. I did see people complaining that he said that we're gonna crush our dreams together. Which, if you looked on his and her Twitter page, they would always say crush your dreams.
Oh,
So
okay.
that wasn't he didn't misspeak. That was actually legit. So
Oh, okay.
yeah. So. But anyways,
Gotcha.
let's get on the crushing dreams here. Everyone knows TNA is getting canceled or is not getting renewed. One of the two, however you want to say it. In the TV world, that's pretty much the same thing. If you're not being renewed, that means you're canceled. And that's what TNA's facing. Maybe. Because yeah. according to Dave Meltzer, that's what's been told. But according to TNA, it's, we're going to sue Dave Meltzer.
Yeah, which is not exactly one of those things you go, oh, yeah. I believe the guy that's just suing the other guy.
And
that does not help confirm anything or deny anything.
But isn't it kind of fitting that even in the wake of a possible cancellation, that even getting canceled, TNA's bungling that? That you can't just come out, like, the network canceling you is being quiet about it. The company that's getting canceled is being quiet about it. No one will just come out and say, yeah, there have been discussions. We're working with Destination America or we're working with TNA to come to some sort of agreement for continuing the product. Just something. But this has been going on almost a week now, hasn't it? Yeah, it was last Wednesday. During NXT, it broke.
Right. Yeah, because we, Chris and I had to bring it up on the show. Like, we cut out time just to talk about it. Because it's just like, well, we can't. Like, this is way too big to let it slide.
Yeah. It's an amazing thing that even getting canceled, TNA can't do correctly. And from some of what's come out, that it may or possibly could have been avoided. Because Dixie Carter was criticized now, supposedly. This hasn't been confirmed, I don't believe.
Right.
But Dixie Carter apparently copied the president of Destination America, I believe it was.
Correct.
On the email, criticizing the way things are being handled and Destination America. Then decided not to show up for the quarterly meeting in April.
When they would have gotten their season renewal.
Yeah. Because, and it was a scheduling conflict. That's what was the reason given on the backslide, so maybe it's not true. It's true, but maybe it's not. It's true, allegedly. I think that's how that term works.
Yeah, we read a report that was not generated by our persons.
Yeah. So anything we expound or have an opinion on is all based off that. So we're free and clear. I think that's how that works. But no, that... And I think I wrote to you this... I think it was... I called Dixie... If that was true, I just said, if true, Dixie Carter is a coward. And she just cost her... she just cost her company... It's TV deal. I mean, so okay, we've all sent an email to somebody. We're like, oh crap, maybe I shouldn't have sent that. Or wow, they weren't supposed to get that one. So when you get called out on it, you don't go, I don't know what you're talking about, or you act stupid and don't show up. I mean, and that's just in a personal relationship. That's not even a professional one, where there's money and people's livelihoods on the line.
Yeah, and, well, I think just the fact that... the one thing that makes that story believable is just because of the silence from them from Wednesday until... Well, we're recording Tuesday, so...
Yeah.
You know, if you go radio silent for 7 days, basically, on that kind of an accusation... It doesn't make you think good thoughts, so you end up reading a report like this, and you're like, well, this has got to be true, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it isn't necessarily, but something went wrong. I mean, I don't know how, because I believe one of them still said that they're doing better than almost all the shows on there, ratings-wise. So, I mean, it's not like they aren't getting a good rating for the stations.
Yeah.
I mean, they have some reason to keep them around at a minimum.
Well, there are the rumors that Destination America was also helping to pay for the show. either expenses for production or paying talent as well. And that's why Destination America started saying, well, hey, we want, you know, basically, in, you know, short, you know, paraphrase, we want decision, we want some decision making on the product as well. Because there was the whole dust up about how they didn't like that TNA was saying that they were broadcasting or they were coming from you in Britain or London, wherever they were. Because they didn't want a show on Destination America being from England. Which is idiotic. But it just shows you that Destination America doesn't understand, you know, wrestling. And it's just, it's a worldwide thing. It's not, you know, backwards backyard thing right now. So when it, I mean, I guess I kind of understand that though. And they couldn't get advertisers or big advertisers for them, so they needed something. And you're paying money to these people, and then supposedly now they're bad mouthing you. And then when it's time to face the fire, they don't show up. Boop, right out the door. Which is the other thing that went against what TNA said. When they first signed, the press release said that they had a 2-year deal with options for a third and fourth year. Well, this hasn't even been on the air 6 months yet.
Yeah, that was one thing that just, I guess I didn't expect to see any news like this in any way. Like, it was really kind of weird just because, yeah, I thought the deal was for a couple of years, and it's just like, who pulls out of a deal that quickly, I guess?
I suppose in television, that's not an industry we work in.
Right, yeah, I mean, there, that was kind of interesting. I was starting to read something, just because I don't know, really know how it works, about how the cancellation of TV works and, like, how it can be less dependent on ratings now more than ever. So I didn't completely get through it, but I did find it pretty interesting.
Yeah. It's TNA, man. I mean, it's, this was something that was bound to happen eventually. Not that it's a good thing, and it's not a good thing that they're gone, or they will be at least. I mean, that's a lot of people who are going to be unemployed. But I suppose with Global Force Wrestling out there, and then also, you know, ROH, you know, those two stand to make the most out of this, talent-wise. But there's also, I think Destination America, I don't think they knew what they were getting into with this company. I think they probably saw, hey, wrestling has easy ratings, so let's just go with that and see what's going on. And they had, I mean, they had to have been their highest rated show. I mean, as much as I like watching Barbecue Pitmasters, I don't see that there's a high demand for it. So.
Really?
I watch it every time it's on and just go, oh. And just go, I need to get a house again so I can buy a grill and a smoker already. I don't know, man. It seems like a done deal, regardless of,
well,
Dixie Carter saying what she's saying, or not saying.
There are a lot of people that just, there are a lot of people just jumping ship, like Samoa Joe taking off. Supposedly, Christy Hemme is out the door now too.
And Bully Ray.
I mean, he came back for a payday, but, mm-hmm. You know, that's it. Like, I mean, he hasn't obviously signed with the WWE, and, you know, what else is he going to do right now?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing with Bully Ray, and I thought of this today. With them bringing Kevin Steen along so quickly, I'm sorry, Kevin Owens, guy used to saying that still, bringing Kevin Owens along as fast as they have, I mean, giving him the NXT title, inserting him on WWE television with John Cena, he's kind of taken the Bully Ray spot. you know, like the somewhat chubby, overweight guy that is just kind of an ass kicker, good talker, whatever else. And that's what Bully Ray's assignment was in TNA. So there's no spot for him. I mean, you know, unless they team him up, which would be backwards for both of them. So, but yeah, you're right, though, with the defections coming from Impact and TNA and that, I mean, it doesn't look good. They let all their established guys, all the established people that they know go, especially. It was weird seeing Samoa Joe at the end of the NXT event. That's for sure.
Right.
Just, and, you know, it's 10 years late, but it was still weird. But I just don't know how. I don't know how TNA survives this one. I know that they said before that there was a lot of people, who were interested in them, that they had negotiations with many networks, but went with Destination America. But I don't know if I buy that anymore. I mean,
Yeah, I didn't buy it then. I definitely don't buy it now. I mean, even if it has improved, it hasn't improved enough for me to take that much of a notice, or for me not to kind of tap out.
Well, think of it not even from a fan perspective. Think of it from a business perspective. Spike TV dropped them when they were doing a consistent one. I'm pretty sure they were their highest rated show. Maybe Bar Rescue was above it. Then they go to Destination America, and in 6 months, Destination America, or less than 6 months, Destination America is already tired of them, and they're their highest rated show with all the DVR replays and initial viewing. So how the hell can you go to another network and go, "Hey, we've got a product that's growing and doing this and doing this." What network's gonna go, "Oh yeah, sounds like a good idea. We're invested." So I mean, so this is it. I can't see them surviving past this. If true, there's no way they can survive past this. I can't see anybody else that's going to pick them up.
No, I mean, Destination America is about as small a channel as they have, or you know, is out there. So I mean, there isn't really a smaller station to get picked up by, and I can't get the El Rey Network, or I don't get the El Rey Network. So I don't get Lucha Underground, you know. I mean, I guess that's a smaller network. So, but I mean, what kind of distribution are they getting?
They're a pretty small one too. They actually were a different network, and I don't know if you heard the interview Robert Rodriguez had on ONA. Yes, I meant ONA. He said that they were just he was talking to like Universal or somebody, whoever owns it, and they said, "Hey, we've got a network slot if you want to buy it." And he just said, "Yeah." That was literally it. So it doesn't have a lot of penetration, but dude, if you have the opportunity to get that station, I'd get it because it's a cool ass station. That's one of the staples now.
Oh.
So, but I mean, it doesn't change things. It doesn't have a lot of, you know, penetration, like I said. So, I don't know.
She just wanted to make sure that you knew that you said penetration.
Yeah, I got distracted by something else I was looking at too, so it didn't help. But no, it. So you can't count. The only station I would think of would be WGN, because they flirted with what was Main Event on WGN, or was it Superstars for WWE?
I think Superstars
Okay.
was.
So, but again, WGN used to be a big station. I really don't know how big they are anymore. But that was at the onset of cable television when they became, you know, they were on every cable system, that and TBS. That would be an ideal thing, even though I can't name one thing I watch on WGN, including Cubs games or anything else. So, I don't know. Everything else is just a repeat, man. It's dark days ahead for them, and it sucks because there's no other competition now. And there won't be for a while, because Global Force Wrestling sure as hell isn't going to be it. So.
Yeah, that joke of an organization. Whatever. If you take 5 years to get off the ground.
Yeah. Or two. I mean, literally 2 years. Because remember that he made the announcement at WrestleMania weekend for WrestleMania 30. I don't know. Oh. So, yeah, it's a year and a half. But even then, it was before then. So. So I don't know. It's going to be a weird landscape here in a few weeks. Well, no, September. So we got a couple months still. They got a couple months to work something out, I guess. So.
Right.
There is a pullback from the ledge moment, but I don't see it happening. So.
Yeah, like I said, they really haven't shown enough improvement to me to warrant re-upping, but whatever, I'm not a network, and I didn't get some errant email.
Yeah, I didn't get disrespected by the company we're helping, so. But I think that brings us to the end of our time. It's about an hour. I spent a lot more time on WWE, but what else can you say about TNA? So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So.
We've been predicting this for years.
Since they started, really.
Right. So the fact that it's finally coming to an end, actually, we should have Dusty on for a eulogy show when it finally happens.
Yeah. Sorry, Shahid just messaged me saying, next time we do a show, we'll have to talk about Mad Max. Our last show was entirely about Mad Max.
Well, I hope Ken doesn't send me repeat topics.
I'm just waiting to see what he says next because I'm totally confused. What are we talking about? Someone's hitting the NyQuil way too heavy. Okay, all right. He does remember us talking about it. Okay, good. Whew. All right, so let's get out of here. You guys, thanks for listening. You can find us on all social media. Stunt Granny. I'm Granny Maze on all social media. Kevin's DeFrango11. So you can follow us on there if you feel like it. So this was fun. I'm going to check out because I'm going to see what he's babbling about. And for more babble between me and Shahid, but with an actual voice, you can check out We Watch Stuff once a week, except this week because somebody's got the sniffles. So, thanks for listening, and Kevin, you can take us out.
This week's hashtag SleepyTimeBeer of the show. Actually, I keep on forgetting that I'm doing it for each show now. I unfortunately did not get a chance to go to Mount Carmel Brewing, which was right near a job site that I needed to visit. But I did get to go to one of this gigantic supermarket called Jungle Jim's down in Cincinnati. And they had Mount Carmel Brewing, and I picked up a porch pack. And in that porch pack, Mount Carmel Amber Ale. It's pretty tasty. Probably not their best one, but it's a little bit further up there. I like their nut brown just a touch more. So, Sippy Time Beer of the Show, and grandkids, have a good night.